Say, Gail, did I leave a manila envelope or manila folder back there? Okay, would you hand out a sheet to those who are here? I've got some scripture verses on there. As I look at different scriptures other than the text, it's kind of nice to have them written down so that we can follow along without trying to keep up thumbing through the Bible. I know that oftentimes when I'm listening to somebody and they're referencing other scriptures, that they're usually done reading it by the time I get there. So, but anyway, my text today, it's a fairly long one. It's from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And I'm going to read the whole text, and then as I go through my notes, we're going to do almost a verse-by-verse talk about it. So anyway, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and reading in Jesus' name. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Lord, we thank you for these words that we have read, Lord, and I just pray that as we look into the scriptures, that our eyes will be opened as well, and that we will see the things that you have for us this morning. And Lord, I just pray that as we worship together on Sunday mornings, it will spur us on to further study throughout the week to come, Lord. And we just pray that your word is a light unto us, and that as we look into things, that we will see what you mean for us to see, Lord. And I just pray this in your name. Amen. At the height of Operation Desert Storm, Ruth Dillo received a very sad message from the Pentagon. The message stated that her son Clayton had stepped on a landmine in Kuwait and was killed. Ruth later wrote these words, "I can't begin to express my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I just wept. I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me, but nothing worked. The loss was simply too great." But 3 days after she received that message, the phone rang. The voice on the other end said, "Mom, it's me. It's Clayton. I'm alive." Ruth said, "I couldn't believe it at first, but when I recognized his voice and realized, but then I recognized his voice and realized he was really alive. The message was all a mistake." She said, "I laughed, I cried, I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, who I thought was dead, was actually alive." And this morning we'll be looking at a story that is somewhat similar. The disciples, family members, and those who were at the cross have all received the news that Jesus has died. And as we look at verse 13, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem." Now you wonder about these two disciples, two followers of Christ, as they have realized that the person that they have put their trust in has been crucified, and to them all hope is lost, and maybe they're just going to Emmaus just to get away from the tragedy that has occurred. In verse 14, they talked together of all these things which had happened. And, you know, you look back to the week before, as Jesus had been praised as he entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and I'm thinking the adoration that was expressed toward Christ at that point, that had to be a high point. That was, maybe they perceived that this was it. Christ was going to set up an earthly kingdom and overcome their Roman oppressors. But then we look at what happened after that. He was betrayed by Judas, persecuted by the high priest, condemned to die by Pilate, crucified by the Romans. Everything in their minds had fallen apart. None of this went according to what they thought the plan was. And I just want to mention that oftentimes, and I think this is true of what they were thinking, and I've mentioned this before, that, you know, their Messiah was going to set up an earthly kingdom. And even though there were prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed to other things, they, as well as we, want things to go the way we think they should, and sometimes we'll interpret things in that way, and we have to be careful about that. And as they were walking and talking about these things, I can just imagine the sorrow that they felt. And they were, you know, they were commiserating with each other about all that had happened. Then we look at verses 15 through 24. As Jesus came with them, they could not see him. Let's read verses 15 and 16. "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him." And I think God veiled them from knowing him, and also just the idea. Have you ever come across somebody in a place where you did not expect to see them? And maybe, boy, that looks like so-and-so. And I, you know, here I'm kind of speculating as to why they didn't see him. Part, you know, it was because God restrained them. But also, they knew that Christ had been crucified. And this wouldn't have even entered their mind that they were walking with him. And Jesus veiled himself for a time to help them. And he was right there, but they did not know it. And Mark 16, 12 through 13 says, after that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. And I included that scripture just as a little bit of an aside. You know, we always get down on Thomas for being a doubter. But boy, Thomas had plenty of company. When the women went to tell people, you know, it was like, well, you know, that can't be, that couldn't have happened. And these two fellows also evidently had plenty of doubt in their minds. And they weren't expecting to see him. And then they were tested by him. He asked, you know, basically, why do you sorrow? Verse 17 says, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And they did express doubt. I want to read verses 18 through 24 again. Then the one whose name was Cleopas, and I'm just going to stop there for a moment, and there are some who speculate that this Cleopas was the person referenced in John 19 as the husband of one of the women at the cross. His name is spelled Clopas there, but that's, again, speculation. But anyway, then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? I mean, to them, everybody knew about that. I mean, you know, where have you been? And of course, Jesus says to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. There again, it was the earthly kingdom. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. So they had heard the report of him being risen, which they doubted. But does this sentence, when they say today is the third day, is that to them maybe a little glimmer of hope? Or is it just, or they're just saying, this is the third day and you haven't heard about this? And but it shows that there may have been a glimmer of hope there in their minds. And then it goes on to say, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then in verses 25 through 27, he kind of, even before he revealed himself to them, he had some rebuke for him. And one of their transgressions was they did not believe God's word. Verse 25 says, then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And then he comes with truth. He says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And when he says ought not, he's meaning, wasn't it necessary that he suffer these things according to the scriptures? Then as we go back to Isaiah chapter 53, I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 that's preceding the text we read during our scripture reading. And Isaiah 53, 3 through 5 says, "He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." And then in verse 27, he begins to teach them. He begins to expound upon the scriptures, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he was teaching them who Christ was. And he gave them the word. He told them, he went through the history of everything that was prophesied about him. He told them of the fall of man and the need of a savior. And now as they walk along and Jesus is indicating that he had planned to go further, they had a desire for more. And that's the result of being with Jesus. And as we desire to learn more, let us be receptive to his word and be willing to study and to spend time in prayer over it. So verse 28 says, "When they drew near to the village where they were going," and he indicated that he would have gone further, "but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them." So I'm not sure. They were going to Emmaus, and as they drew near, he had indicated to them that he would probably continue on. But his teaching was profound enough that they wanted to spend more time with him, and in their minds, he was a stranger. And it basically says, "Stay with us a while, tell us more. We're enjoying your company." They were receptive to the teaching, and let us be receptive to teaching. And then what follows is a delight of fellowship. Verses 30 and 31, "Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." They watched his hands break the bread, and probably when he broke the bread, the scars were probably evident, and the reality of who he was flooded them. And their eyes were open, and they realized, "We have been with Jesus." Verse 32 says, "And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while we talked with him on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?'" Does the scriptures cause our hearts to burn? And by burn, there could be different types of burning. There could be the burn of conviction, the burn of realization, the burn of wanting to know more. The one thing we must adhere to and keep before us is the truth of the Word of God. It will make our hearts burn. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says, and Jeremiah is talking about, not making mention. It's like, every time he would prophesy or speak truth, he would be mocked and there would be derision. And so he says, "Then I said, 'I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name.'" He says, "I've had enough of this. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." And let us be Let us be bold. Let our hearts burn. Let us be quick to defend Christ and to share the gospel. And verses 33 through 35 says, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This revelation that Christ was truly risen refreshed them. They were no longer downcast. Their feet were no longer feeling like they were coated in lead. They ran back to Jerusalem. And then in closing, I want to read from Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, or Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And Paul is saying that as he writes this some years later, that a great many of those who had actually seen the Christ after he was raised were still alive. They could testify to that. And as Peter writes, or as Paul writes in Corinthians here, he's telling people that. And we can be confident. We should be confident in the writings that we have before us. And Jesus is still alive today. Are we telling others of what he has done? What he has done for us? And the Scriptures are still there and they're open for us. He still makes our hearts burn within us. And he still gives us glimpses of himself. He reveals himself to us. And it makes us hunger for more, hopefully. And I just pray that we, as we finish our service this morning, that we will realize everything that Christ did for us. And even though we're going to watch this movie on Wednesday night, and it is a very painful thing to watch, excuse me, I think it's important to realize what was done on our behalf, and Christ, being fully man and fully God, went to that horrible cross and the derision and the mocking, and he went through all of that for us. And as we know that all this happened during the season of the Passover, we know that in the Passover in the Old Testament, when God brought the plagues onto Israel, and he took the firstborn of all those who did not have the blood of Lamb on their doorposts, that the blood of that Lamb protected them. And as we know what Christ did for us, that he was the unblemished Lamb, and his blood protects us as well. And I just thank him for that. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the words that we have. And we are so grateful for what you've done for us. And we just celebrate what this day means, but let us celebrate it throughout the year, Lord. And as we remember what you've done for us, make our hearts burn to share your word with others, and to treat others in the manner you would have us. Now, Lord, I just thank you again in your name. Amen. Okay.